And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Did you see Ariana Grande performing at the Grammys?
Oh, I fucking hate her.
Hate her.
Yeah.
What did you say?
What?
Okay, I thought you said something.
I just said yeah.
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 Shannon, what is that? Call the police.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, May 25th. We're here in the Classic Factory. I'm J.E. Skeets. And alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy rocking a new jersey there. Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. And last but not least today, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. As you can see, no international man of mystery today. Lee is at his youngest son's school graduation today. And the irony is not lost on us after another heartbreaking day in America yesterday and continuing in today. What are we at? 19 children, two adults killed in the Texas elementary school shooting yesterday. How are you guys holding up?
It was not an easy day yesterday. It was... Yeah, it's unfortunate because it feels normal. And I think we have to say every time it frickin' happens that it's not normal. Mm-hmm. And that we have to break the cycle because most people want gun control in this country, but we're being held hostage by a small group, a very small group of politicians who are being paid and lobbied by an industry that has... told people that they need guns, and there are people that are trying to help break the cycle, and I think that's all I want to say today is that there are advocates out there that are trying to break that cycle that we have to get out of mass shooting, grieving, discussion about what should happen, a lot of inaction, waiting for another one, then it happens again, mm-hmm. Because we're only 11 days out of another one in Buffalo, New York. So join an advocacy group, because groups like Moms on Demand are doing something about it, and it's a long fight, obviously, but take the energy that you have today and not just as I am as well. I'm taking my own advice here and not just wait until another day, because there's just way too many freaking guns on the streets. Way too many guns on the streets. It's not even just obviously when it's kids, it becomes incomprehensible, mm-hmm. unthinkable, repugnant, disgusting. But it's happening every day, mm-hmm. and the numbers are staggering, just how many guns there are out there. And the gun
lobbies. It's a uniquely American problem, mm-hmm. too, that there are so many guns and that they are so easy to get. And, you know, there is mental illness everywhere, but if you're able to easily get a gun, things like this can happen and will continue to happen until that is no longer the case. I was really missing my family last night, yeah. Just to, you know, see them and hug them, so... I can't imagine what those families are feeling.
Yeah, we'll try and be a small distraction here for some of the sadness as we talk some hoops. Shout out to the stream team. We always appreciate it. Everybody joining us live right now. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions or non-NBA questions. Hell, send them in. Anything you want to nodunks@theathletic.com. New No Breaks dropped yesterday. TK and Graydon breaking down the Spanish GP. I listened to it yesterday. And I enjoyed it very much, especially when you were talking about a poster of one of the driver's bare ass in a stream. I perked up.
That's exactly right.
Right. So go check that out. That's on YouTube. No Breaks, its own YouTube feed and channel there, or podcasts. These guys do a fantastic job. And if you're like somewhat new to F1, this is the podcast for you. I think it's a great balance of, especially great in really knowing his stuff.
One guy who knows what they're talking about, and one guy who likes watching fast cars.
Yeah, well, and then the balance is obviously the knowledge and then the laughs and all the insane things that go in that world of F1 racing. And also, back to the jerseys, because Trey has one on, they've dropped. These are finally available. I feel like I've been teasing these for like, I don't know, weeks, maybe months, but Breaking Tea has them now. There's only 99 available, both of the No Dunks Nuggets throwback jersey and the No Dunks Grizzlies throwback jersey. You can go to nodunks.com. They went live at 10. So they've been live for, at this point, about 10 minutes. Hopefully some of them are still available there. But I imagine these aren't going to last long because they are fire. They look incredible there on your screen, and they look even better in person. I was rocking the Grizzlies one yesterday, and Trey's got the Nuggets one on. So, yeah, go grab one of those if you would like to. Rep some No Dunks jerseys when you hoop this summer, or maybe at the pool or something like that.
Either.
Yeah.
Either.
There's Valtteri Boat Ass.
I like to imagine he got out of this stream and threw on a No Dunks jersey.
Hopefully it was long enough.
No. Winnie the Pooh style.
Okay, well, we are going to get into the All-NBA teams that were announced last night. We'll talk surprises, we'll talk snubs and all that. But let's start with the game, because we're getting to Game 5 in the Western Conference Finals. Luka and the Mavs avoid the sweep, 119-109. Got a little close there at the end as the Warriors' backups made a run. But the Mavs get the victory, and what'd you think of this one, Taz? Get us started.
The only thing I regret is that we weren't there for the rain delay. We're just the perfect rain delay fillers, I think. They could have tossed to us.
Oh, wow.
I mean, two parts. First, I think we should have sponsored the rain delay. You know, this rain delay brought to you by No Dunks.
Interesting.
Our show's kind of like a rain delay, you know?
What?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. Well, we fill time really well.
That's a good plan. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes we're like, this show is going to be a short one, only a half an hour. We go, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
We could have filled.
16 minutes? I think we easily could have filled. Yeah,
because
sure.
They threw up to the TNT crew. Because Harlan, Reggie, and Stannard were like, okay.
They're out of things to say.
Yeah, we talked about the leak. All right, you guys, Ernie, Shaq, you take it. And then they threw to Shaq and a fool.
Yeah.
And then that was half done, and they go, all right, they're playing they're playing again. We got to go. We could have filled that better. We could have sponsored it in two different ways, I think. We missed out there. Anyway, so that happened. But I think what happened was the Mavs figured out the 3-2 zone pretty well for the first time in this series. What they did was overload like four guys on one half of the floor, and the Warriors were pretty slow to rotate. The first three quarters, the Warriors struggled. I think they were just in a first, it was solved, but second, the Warriors just weren't up to playing incredible defense, I think. I think the bad part for the Mavs is in the fourth quarter, the Warriors got a free practice to me. They went into that fourth down 29 points, and it's like, yeah, this was an in-between game adjustment period for the Warriors in that fourth quarter, where they figured out, all right, we got to rotate that one guy back to the other corner and figure it out, and they did. They took a 29-point lead, turned it into just an 8-point lead with 3:23 left. So I think that's a bad sign for the Mavs going forward, that the Warriors kind of figured that part out going into Game 5. A good thing for the Warriors, they're going to make another gajillion dollars in gate money like they do in Golden State. They haven't lost a home game yet. But the Mavs got to be feeling good hitting all those threes around Luka Doncic. Luka didn't have an incredible game shooting the ball, although, he almost had a triple-double, 30-14-9. But Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith, the big one for me, showing out there. So a good feeling for the Mavericks going into Game 5.
Yeah, Mavs hit 20 three-pointers, Trey, and you keep bringing that up throughout the playoffs. Hey, you hit those threes, you probably win the game. They're 7-3 in the playoffs when they make more than 15 threes. So that obviously helped. Bullock hitting six, and Dorian Finney-Smith hitting some. Maxi Kleber hitting
He's
some.
He's back, baby.
Yeah, he hit a couple, which was big. Hit a couple before halftime, too. What are your takeaways from this game last night?
Yeah, there were two keys to me to the Mavs winning the longest. Number one is the three-point makes, 20 for 43, like you're saying, but 19 through 36 through the first three quarters. The real portion of the game, at least from the Mavericks' perspective,
yeah.
They definitely, I feel like, felt like they were home. Like, let's just get through these last 12 minutes here. But six from Bullock, four from Dorian Finney-Smith, and two from Cleveland, like you're saying. If you're able to get 12 threes from your shooters, just straight-up shooters out there,
yep.
That definitely helps. But more important was the dribble penetration. The Mavs were in the lane all night, and that was a huge change, especially from the shooters. Like, I'm not surprised when Doncic is in the lane. I'm not surprised when Dinwiddie or Brunson is in the lane. They're kind of dynamic players, but I thought there was definitely a change from the Mavs in attacking closeouts. Like, it wasn't just going to be Dorian Finney-Smith. You're only shooting threes out there. Kleba, you're only shooting threes out there. Even Davis Bertans put the ball on the floor, got another dunk again, though he did break his streak of not missing a two-pointer.
Yes.
That being said, they were just attacking the closeouts, and it made the Mavericks a little bit more unpredictable. And then Luka was great, just getting in the lane every single time, dishing out to shooters. I thought they had a really smart game plan for how they were going to attack the zone and for how they were going to attack man. And it basically came down to both times, like, find the seam and get inside. Good things are going to happen when we get inside, so great stuff from the Mavs to be able to bounce back and maybe gentlemen sweep this kind of thing or get a little bit of momentum heading to Golden State.
They're not an easy team to put away. They've proven that. Luka and the Mavs are now 3-0 in must-win games in the postseason, so they have that ability to stay alive here. And Doncic is averaging 36.6 points in elimination games, which is the highest scoring average in such situations in league history. Back to the zone, though, because that's something I've been talking about a lot. Like, how are they going to figure this out? What are they going to do? And I just kept saying, usually when you try and break a zone, you put a guy in the middle, and that's where you operate. And I was like, who's going to do that on Dallas? If it's not really Luka, and you want him to have the ball, who the heck could play that role? But you brought it up, Tass. I know Anthony Slater at The Athletic has an awesome article up. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Of them not doing that to break that 3-2 zone, but like you said, Tass, to overload one side, then have the pick-and-roll action with Luka. And it's just basically, it's a bit of a math problem, because it's like, there's only so many, because they're set up in a zone defense, and you put four guys basically on one side of the floor, it's like, there's only like three guys over there to try and figure out who they're going to stop. Now, you have to hit threes in that situation. Mm. Like, there's going to be three-point shots. But that was a cool little wrinkle from Kidd. You know, in addition to them just hitting those shots this time.
I think that's the major adjustment.
Huge, huge, because he had even talked about when they were seeing zones, like, we're getting shots.
They're getting wide open looks.
Yeah, we're just not knocking them down, and they started dropping here. But, you know, they were maybe at least taking them with a little more confidence last night. And when you're down 3-0, I guess just let them fly.
Yeah, it's a two-parter. I think they're feeling a little bit more free and easy. No more pressure. Down 3-0, I think, is a little bit part of it. I know it's simplistic to say, but a good point by Trey bringing up Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, these guys can dribble.
Yeah.
And they have the ability to put it on the floor. But I think you saw his entire package yesterday, partly because they're free and easy. There's no more pressure. Partly because the Warriors were half asleep a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw what happens. That there was a little bit of breakdowns going on with the Golden State Warriors. So, yeah, the Mavs produced that a little bit, created that a little bit. I will say the Mavs have hit more threes in all four of these games, though. And, you know, they're still 1-3, plus 1, plus 7, plus 2, and plus 10. And the Warriors got to do a better job of defending it, and I think they will next game, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is a gentleman's sweep. Top hats out. Put your monocles on.
Yeah, Trey brings up, sometimes it is just hitting shots. In game two, they should have won that game. Game four, obviously, they do win that game when they're plus 7 and plus 10 because, the Warriors were a little bit more ready in game two to combat it and to play a little harder, whatever the freaking phrase is. I don't know if we're oversimplifying it by saying they just hit more shots, but yeah, that happened as well.
Well, look, we know no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in a 7-game series. Only something like 3 of the 146 teams that have fallen in that deep of hole have even forced a game 7. But Mavs got work to do here, Trey. Is there... Honestly, is there any chance that they could get this back to Dallas? Like, is it that far-fetched? The way they can catch fire from three, is that get them back there for a game six?
I think it's certainly possible, and I think we can see an even better Doncic game. Like, I think he's been playing really, really well, and I think that he's kind of been super consistent for the Mavs the way everybody thought he would going into this series, but he can also reach another level. And if the Mavs are able to take anything from this game and a little bit of confidence going forward, a guy like Kleba actually getting on track, like Bullock has had a really solid series. He just had a pretty bad game three, could not make a shot.
Yeah.
So he's been consistent throughout. And so, yeah, I mean, as long as they're able to get shooting from their shooters, like that's why they're out there. Finney Smith is there to play defense as well. Bullock plays defense. Kleba does his part. But they need to make threes. Otherwise, they're just defenders out there. And the Mavs are an offense first team. So you're getting pretty solid performances from your main scorers. When they hit, this is a pretty even looking series because I felt like the Warriors couldn't really guard the Mavericks at all when the Warriors went to their small lineup. Like, Looney was finally ineffective last night, and I thought that was pretty interesting to see, especially once you get to the fourth quarter. You know, the Warriors subs brought the team back. I personally would have continued to roll with them in a 3-0 scenario. Nonetheless, the starters come back, but Bielitsa stayed out there. I thought that was interesting that he was the one deep bench guy who stuck around with the starters. You have to think maybe he's going to get some run in Game 5 if Otto Porter is not able to go once again.
Yeah. Mm. Did you think they were going to pull it off, in all honesty, watching the game last night? Or was it too deep a hole there, 29 down, even though they got to 8?
I don't know. I was confused. I was very confused as to what was happening out there until Anthony Slater broke it down on The Athletic, and I can understand. That's how they fixed it real quick. I loved watching the Warriors' young players. It is kind of fun watching them in a very high-stakes situation and how they've taken, you know, they're oldies and they're trying to bridge the gap, which is always fun for me. A dynasty, a team that's won a championship, you know, like our Raptors, they're trying to bridge from the olds to the news. And Jonathan Kuminga out there looked like he could play in these series for a long time. You know, there were some hiccups there, but he's playing alongside Moses Moody and yeah, they seem wise beyond their years, and I think it's the Warrior system and how they groom these guys to be fantastic. So I don't know. I think they needed a little bit more, you know, Otto Porter-ish out there. They needed one of those guys out there, and that would help. Gary Payton II is also out. They've got good problems there on the Warriors' side. It seemed like they learn real quick. So I think Game 5 will be a bit of a different story. But I think when you look at the numbers and now that the Mavericks have hit +1, +7, +2, +10, three sometimes don't go in. And I think you can expect it to be a lot closer in Game 5.
Back to the rain delay. Let's say you got a leak like that happening. Are you guys putting down a bunch of towels, or are you trying to get a bucket out there? Because it was coming down pretty good over by the Warriors bench. And I know there was a second one that was happening on the other side of the floor there.
Oh, was there? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But
my favorite part was when, I forget who said, I'm trying to see the leak. Can you see it? And Harlan's like, you can't see it?
Yeah.
I don't know what the best move is there. They went through the towels pretty fast, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think they thought, like, oh, we'll just put a couple of down. We'll get running back out here. And then suddenly they had, like, 1,000 towels down on the ground really quickly.
It appears the fix is like to do some sort of like catch-all thing up in the rafters.
A tarp with a beer bong on the
bottom of it. Exactly.
Did you think that was something that they just had? Like they just had it there, or they built it like MacGyver style?
Well, this is the second delay this season. They had a rain delay at this arena back in March when it was like a heavy downpour outside. So maybe they, I think they needed something like that. Yeah. They were like, we got to get creative. This happens again here. We're not fixing the whole roof, you know, in time for the playoffs. So they came up with this contraption is my idea.
I love the shot of Cuban just steaming.
Oh.
Mark Cuban pissed courtside. It was very funny. Yeah, it's kind of lucky they had a trial run 2 months ago for this. I think that was part of the work. Workers were up there real fast. They're all roped up.
Yep.
They had their harnesses pretty freaking quick. I would think that this would be longer than 16 minutes. You know, it was kind of pouring.
Exactly right. It was almost like that's almost more than a leak.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking of Lee Ellis in his attic looking for leaks anytime it rains here in Atlanta is where I went to. But
I was thinking, like, how are they going to fix this? Because I'm with you. It looked like a lot of water was coming down. And if it's in the roof, like, I don't know. We've only been up in the rafters one time ever. And it doesn't feel like you can reach the actual roof. No. I'm like, what do they get? Like a spray caulk or something like that?
Yeah, Flex Seal or something. Yeah, or that guy named Phil slap it up there. Yeah, yeah.
I also liked the inside tracks where you could hear Jason Kidd say, "We made it rain in the first half." Oh! He gave himself an O.
Well, none of us predicted that this would be the measure Kid would go to.
Yeah, that's
remember,
a great call.
You know, he's had guys bump into him and spill drinks. We had the theory that maybe he was in, a part of the vendor bender, as Lee called it. I mean, who's to say Kid didn't drill that hole to like somehow give his team a longer rest?
If we're up big at half, let the rain down.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, the TNT crew kept saying that, Kenny Smith especially saying, "I've been in three rain delays. The team that suffers is the team that's up." So I don't know if Kid would have done that.
That's
according
true.
To Kenny, he wouldn't have. Because
he was right. That's pretty.
Yeah, I guess.
Kind of.
But yeah, they obviously came through. Yeah, it's just the tarps. Nice moves by the tarp.
Really,
it's all tarps.
Good
really
tarp
nice
moves.
Move.
Yeah. Another random thing in this game was a Legge.
Good
yes,
one.
Yes, oof. An incredible Legge from Draymond Green on the free throw attempt. Everybody, I just enjoyed how everybody was loving it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the broadcasters, the fans, and the players. I mean, Luka and Green were loving it. Like, wow, this is incredible. And yes, that is a Legge when the ball stalls on the back of the rim. I saw some people incorrectly calling it a pigeon. No, no, that's when it's way up top.
Yeah.
And some were like, where does this fall
it.
In the Wedgie sort of you know, universe? It's just, it's its own thing. And it's even, obviously, it's much more rare than a Wedgie. How many Legges have we had in the entirety of our show run where we at least track Wedgies?
Not every year,
three
I don't think.
Total?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Not many.
Maybe two, I don't know.
But counted as a miss. I thought that's interesting.
Well, it didn't go through the hoop.
Didn't go through the hoop. But, you know, they replay a Wedgie. They throw it up again. Why can't he shoot it again?
Interesting. Mm. Oh, interesting. You think it's almost one of the...
Yeah, it's a gray area.
Almost
I mean,
like a foul ball, I guess.
Obviously, if the ball bounces over the backboard on a shot, you know, it's a miss.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to call this one. I don't know how to referee this
I
one.
Think they should be allowed... Get your tallest guys out there, your guys that can jump the highest, and they should have like a quick like Gerald Green cupcake blow off here, where they have to like see who's got the hops,
that's
and like
one.
Just fight it back and forth, like a little a little game within a game.
Maybe we will eventually go to the FIBA rules where you know you can make contact with the ball when it's on there, just play it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Was it his first?
I think so.
Free throw? Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
That was a good one, though. People were saying the best Legge of all time.
Sure.
Western Conference Finals? A lot of eyeballs?
Can't
Hall of Fame
that.
Player?
People were excited.
Yeah, but it's nice when it stops and we all watch. We all look Draymond Green laughing. You don't see him smiling too much, you know, looking up at the ball. Same thing happened with Steph and Luka looking up at the tarps. You know, I love those shots. Love those shots.
Oh, the other great shot in this game was Luka's horse shot, trick shot.
Oof.
Where he, you know, a dead ball situation, whistle's been called. He just throws it, I don't know, felt like 100 feet in the air, and it bounces, and then pops in, or like rattles around and drops in. And, you know, it was great. Reggie was good on that. He saw it, because they didn't really have the cameras, like, seeing the actual shot go in, but you could hear the crowd react. You're like, holy crap, that went in. And Reggie was all over it, and then, you know, the guys and gals in the truck racked it up from the far camera, and you got to actually see it go in.
I loved Reggie's call on it, too. What a trick shot. Nobody's got better trick shots than NBA players.
Yeah, well, he's right.
I guess, because that's their job, I guess. But also, what about Dude Perfect, who's coming to perform here in Atlanta?
Damn, you think Dude Perfect has more NBA trick shots than an NBA professional player? I don't know.
Yep.
No.
Yep. They're throwing it from across the arena. They're throwing it from that tarp spot and putting it in. They're better. That's what they do.
They should do a tarp shot.
Tarp shot.
Off the tarp, off the ground. Nothing but net.
No, nothing but Legge.
Oh, nothing but ledge.
Good luck with that. Back to Reggie on the Legge call. I love he's like, I think Harlan sort of steps in. He's like, you could take that shot 1,000 times. Reggie's go, more than 1,000 times. He was adamant that it's very rare. And he was right.
Oh, man, yeah.
Reggie was fired up last night.
Now I want to go see Dude Perfect here in Atlanta. Because you're right. They're gonna capitalize on what's going on in
the
basketball.
How does Dude Perfect, honestly, put on a live show? Like... Like, cause
they're that good.
Are they? Like, that's incredible. Because I don't know what they're doing.
We gotta go.
A lot
see
of these,
it,
I assume they're not hitting on the first go. It's like a dunk contest gone wrong. It's like how many Birdman dunk
chucks are we getting
this?
Here?
Maybe they've
how
got.
I think they have a lot of like video packages. And, like, they're celebrities in that world. I mean,
sure.
But they must do. You're right. They must attempt some live
I hope so.
Tricks.
Yeah, I hope so. Maybe they have those.
But
like...
the dudes aren't perfect, I think, when you're seeing them live, so I'm getting that.
But
I'm
the
saying.
Jokers are impractical. Everything they're doing, it doesn't make sense. You can get it done way easier.
Yeah, there's yeah, there, I wonder if there's any little tricks, any little
little you're saying that
well, I don't
cheating
know.
A little bit.
Maybe.
Magnetic rims.
Oh,
magnetic
rims. Damn.
Like
strings.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, you well, know, when you look at...
dead backboards, for sure. Ball deflated a little bit. Seriously, mm-hmm. you want to hit some more trick shots is what you do.
Mm-hmm. You like, when you look at, you know, those plastic, like, teleprompters, like clear plastic things could be up there, too. Like, even ricocheting off those.
Jesus.
I know, that might be a little too obvious, I guess. But I don't know, obviously they're... like
let's go see them!
Let's go see them.
We gotta see this operation.
They gotta have a ledgy contest, too. I like the blow versus blow idea. But I think people could just jump and hit their heads.
Which twin can blow harder in the Dude Perfect group?
I thought you were gonna say Caleb or Cody.
No.
How many...
I think there's twins in Dude Perfect. You don't know your dudes?
Don't know dudes.
I think there are. Like, tell me in the stream team. There's definitely a pair of twins. Cody and... No, now you got
Brody.
Me thinking,
Cody and
no,
Brody. Let's challenge
there's
them.
There's tall guy, there's bald guy.
Let's challenge
guy.
Them. I bring this up because TNT challenged ESPN to a 4-on-4 game last night. Reggie Miller was going through the matchups.
That's how they were killing Zion?
Yeah. That was another part of the time okay. killing yep. adventure was Reggie talking about Kevin Harlan posting up Mike Breen.
Wow.
I would love to see that.
Harlan's got him.
You think Harlan's got Breen?
Yeah.
I literally don't even know where to start with that one. Yeah,
that's a tough call.
I just go age. I think Breen's older.
Breen is older. But I don't know. Breen's taller, maybe.
Yeah, I would. I think Breen is taller, but I think Harlan's stronger. Who knows? Who knows?
All right.
Reggie does seem to be the advantage in that one. Like, tallest guy, also the best shooter. So I'm going with TNT in this matchup,
okay.
personally.
Okay.
Oh, because they're running fives. It's
He said we could go 2-on-2, 3-on-3, or 4-on-4.
Oh, because he was playing with Stan Van and Allie.
Stan Van's got handles. We know that.
Right. I thought it was the Chuck and Kenny.
No. I'm taking TNT if it's the actual broadcast team. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, any other notes from the Mavericks extending this series? We've gone on a few tangents here.
That's good.
I'll just say, do not go see Dude Perfect.
Okay. Why? Uh-oh. Why?
They had a television show. I don't know if it's still on.
Oh,
did you
wow.
ever watch this?
No.
It was on CMT to start.
Oh, yeah. Country music
yeah.
channel or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Shout out to Michelle.
Michelle Anderson.
Yeah. Didn't she work there?
Yeah.
Or that was Canadian one.
That was Canadian. It still counts.
Anyway.
It still counts. Anyways, I watched the first episode. Awful. Like,
it's their first episode.
Yeah, like, come on, give it a go, man.
What they do, put a pelican on there?
This is what they did.
I guess their show is called Dude Perfect. You expect
it wasn't
it to be
even,
pretty good.
Here's the problem. There were no trick shots. And what? I was watching this thing for,
see,
I think it was an hour long. And they were like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get go-karts, and we're going to get these spongy, you know, these archery things where you can shoot each other with arrows with balls on the end. We're going to get that. We're going to race around.
So they're playing Mario Kart.
Mario Karts, but with bows.
Yeah.
And they brought in a country star, I believe. Hold on. What was his name? Damn it.
Do you know the country star?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, here it is. Luke Bryan.
Oh,
who?
Yeah. He's huge.
That's a huge.
He's huge,
yeah,
JD.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know shit about shit, man. You don't know about
I know
dudes.
About television,
know
and this
dude?
Was boring as shit. And then one of them was losing their minds about this celebrity coming.
Yeah, it's a big name.
Luke
first
Bryan.
Show.
Luke. On CMT.
Oh,
they're playing to their audience.
Yeah.
Well, it moved to Nickelodeon, apparently, the show. Anyways, okay. It was a brutal.
Yeah, you'd expect some, number one, some trick shots or something. But
yeah,
number two.
That's number one thing I'm
number
expecting.
Two, it's so different than a live show. It's obviously pre-recorded.
These guys are not charismatic. Mm. I'll say that.
Wow, jeez.
I love Dude Perfect. I love,
I
like,
think the
I've
one
watched...
guy is terribly charismatic. The main guy, beard guy.
Tyler?
No.
I don't know. I'm looking at the
like
Wikipedia
three
page.
Of them have
they've got a Kobe,
it's
a
guy that talks
Corey, and a Cody.
Oh, yeah. So Kobe and Cody are the twins.
Kobe and Corey are the twins.
Damn it.
Cody.
Cody's
he just likes the name.
Cody's tall guy.
I don't know who they are.
Yeah,
man.
I've seen a little bit of it. And then Tyler, you're right. Tyler's the guy that talks a lot. He's the charismatic one. All right, JD disagrees. Okay.
Anyway, whatever.
Let's go see him.
You know what? Waste your money. Waste your money.
No.
Go enjoy it.
I'd love to battle them in a little game of horse or something, though. Sure. Mm. We got some trick shots. What's your Trey? What's your go-to trick shot?
Mine is the Luca. I like to chuck it up high in the air, bouncing it off the ground.
Did you ever hit it?
I don't know if I've made it yet in Georgia. I've made it in Illinois and Ontario, but I'm not sure if I've made it in Georgia.
I remember
yet.
You used to try when we were at the starters basketball court all the time. I don't ever remember seeing it drop. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll get into the All-NBA teams, talk about a few of the surprises, maybe some snubs, and then we'll look ahead to Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. The pivotal Game 5. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory. Thanks to everybody who went and grabbed a No Dunks jersey already. We're trying to figure out whether they're sold out already, mere 40 minutes after they went live. So thank you.
That's one benefit of being on the stream team versus the follow-through crew.
Ooh.
Nice one.
Well, you got to follow us on social media, too.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. There were a couple suggestions for the follow-through crew, that being the people that listen to the podcast afterwards. So.
Or watch later, I guess.
Yeah,
or watch later. That's true. There was a couple out there.
I said follow-up family yesterday, but follow-through crew is that's pretty
right.
solid.
That's what you want to change.
It rhymes.
Well, shout out to all our dudes out there. Tyler, Garrett, Kobe, Corey, Cody. all the dudes that are perfect in our eyes. We got all NBA teams to discuss. Let's do it. 21-22 all NBA teams announced yesterday.
You were waiting for this moment, Skeets.
I was?
Yeah. You're saying you said a couple times. Are we getting the all-NBA teams today?
Yeah, I mean, I straight up called it yesterday. What a call by me. Here they are. Giannis, Devin Booker, Luka, Jokic, and Tatum. I'm just reading them how they are on the graphic. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to that, but that's the all-NBA first team, okay? Giannis, Luka, Jokic, Booker, and Tatum. As I say them in a different order this time. Okay, All-NBA second team.
Just freestyle.
Well, I have them written down in one order, and then they're completely different on the graphic. Okay, yes, I know who these guys are. I'll just read them on the graphic. All-NBA second team is Steph Curry. DeMar DeRozan there of the Chicago Bulls as a forward. Take note of that. Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, yes, a center on the second team, and then Ja Morant. And then your All-NBA third team is composed of a guy named LeBron James, I believe his 18th All-NBA team. 18th! Crazy. Chris Paul, Pascal Siakam. Yeah, buddy! Homer, where's Lili? And then we got Karl-Anthony Towns and Trae Young. So here's the voting breakdown, just really quickly, if you like to look at numbers. Giannis, the only player to receive All-NBA first-team votes on all 100 ballots, earning his fourth consecutive selection to the first team, and sixth All-NBA honor overall for the Greek Freak there. So that's a question we always ask here, isn't it, Trey? Biggest surprise or snub when it comes to these All-NBA teams? What do you think?
Overall, I think the teams are great. I think there's kind of like 13 locks and a couple you could kind of go either way there on the third team. It seemed to me that that's kind of the consensus first team, so not a super surprise with the five up there. I was surprised, though, that DeRozan was on the second team over LeBron, but I guess that's because he qualified as a forward despite being a guard at All-Star break. But I thought that was a nice little touch to see all of the basically players who were the leader for the MVP voting at some point during this season made it on the first or second team.
Yeah.
I had Donovan Mitchell as my last guard on the third team. Trae Young is a solid choice as well. The big story will probably be Embiid making the second team as a center. I'm curious to see the final breakdown because Jokic got 88 first team votes. Embiid got 57 first team votes. That's 145 first team votes, and there's only 100 voters. So 45 people tried the two centers approach.
Right.
I'm curious to see how that actually broke down. But the biggest surprise, biggest snub, I think is Jimmy Butler. And I think it's more along the lines of the Miami Heat are a snub as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference to not have a player on any of these all-NBA teams. It's certainly a surprise. Butler was the first forward out after Siakam there. He only played 57 games. Bam played 56 games. Mm-hmm. So that's the reasoning. But it is still weird to see a number one seed with no all-NBA players.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree. Jimmy was the one who stuck out. And we're doing it retroactively, so I think where we are right now, that they're still alive in the conference finals is definitely part of it. That's the one that stands out. But Butler, he missed a lot of time. I look back to when we made these decisions. Butler was also my first snub, partly because, he was at that time he was in the 50s of games played, and who I was debating him between were the other forwards, mostly on games played as well. Durant and LeBron also in the 50s. And do you take him over those two? I say nay. As much as, LeBron was on a team that didn't make the postseason, got to keep him on those all-NBA teams. 18 of 19 years, still kicking it, which is pretty impressive. So I think they're great, mainly because I had the exact same teams. I don't think I've ever done this before I had the same teams. And so I'm happy with what happened here. I was influenced, I think, when we were picking them, that Booker made it over Steph. That was one for me that I probably wouldn't have done, depending on the records for the team was huge for me in that decision. But anyway, 15, I just couldn't put Jokic and Embiid on the same, on the first team.
I just
couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. In the end, people,
for even the most though part, the best, even though they're of the two of the best five.
Yeah, I mean, he's the MVP runner-up. yes, but that's okay. They play the same position. And, I won't even go into my whole thing that it doesn't even matter in the end. They're on the All-NBA team. Congratulations. But some money. Let's talk this real quick because this is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Booker and Towns both making the All-NBA teams. They are now both eligible to sign a four-year, $211 million Supermax extension this summer. That would begin in 24-25. The extensions would start at $47 million that season and top out around $58.4 million in 27-28. These numbers just start to get in more and more insane as they go up here. And then Trae Young, his selection to the third team, triggered a clause in the designated rookie maximum extension he signed last summer that increases his projected salary from $172.5 million to $207 million over the next five seasons. So he just got
$30 million raise?
Yeah, easily. 35 basically, which is, whoo, not bad in getting on that third team. So this is the crazy part, that these all-NBA votes, they matter. When it comes to the paychecks of some of these players, which, I mean, you could argue is sort of insane, that it's in the hands of 100 people, some who probably don't even watch all that much basketball, but he's happy because he's getting another $35 million. Maybe the Hawks aren't as happy as much because it changes their books a little bit.
I suppose, yeah. But I believe in Trey is going to he's going to take this first-round beatdown that he got from the Miami Heat and learn from it real quick. He's one of those that's going to get better. And many people complained that he wasn't even higher. He was the first player in a very long time that had led the league in points and assists. What was that stat? What's the stat? The points and assists? The tiny Archibald?
It's tiny
total.
Total points and assists. Yeah, sure. That's right. Anyway, he was incredible. I think he's going to learn from that Miami Heat defense and the way they collapsed on him. So the Hawks might be a little upset, but I don't know. They know they got a great one, so I think they're fine with it at the same time.
Other, snubs. You said Jimmy Butler. You said Bam, even. Yeah, not having a Heat on one of these teams is maybe upsetting to some. Donovan Mitchell, I think, Trey, you slipped him in there. You said he was in the mix for you. Guy had 26 points per game. I mean, he had a really good season. DeJounte Murray on a Spurs team that obviously wasn't as high in the standings as some teams. Not that that stopped from LeBron getting on there, but 21-9-8 from this guy. I had him on my fourth All-NBA team. Highly recommend you go check out that video where I did my 10 All-NBA teams, like a real sicko. I think DeJounte Murray was on my fourth team. And then maybe... You know, are there still fans of Rudy Gobert out there when it comes to the center position? I feel like he was on most people's fourth team as well. Like, it felt
he
like
beat
Cat.
Bam.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Bam is one of those forward center guys, but Rudy doesn't make it. So I think it's really cool when you look at this team, though. It's like what the Warriors are doing in real life, Tass. You still have these legends holding on to some of the spots. LeBron, Chris Paul, players like that. But then we have some first-timers in Booker and Ja Morant and Trae Young, and even just second-timers that haven't been around a whole lot. We have a lot of youth. I guess the first team is comprised entirely of players younger than 28 years old, all 27 or younger, which is the first time since the 50s or something like that. So that's sort of neat that the league looks in good hands is what I'm getting at. I love to say that. So much young talent in this league.
That's not true. Since the days of Harry the Horse with Gallatin have we seen a first team this young.
Is that true?
I don't know. But I will say DeJounte Murray has to be snub of the year. He was snubbed for the All-Star game, eventually added as an injury replacement, snubbed for all-defensive team despite leading the league in steals, and then one of the
maybe
first guys
here.
Out here on the All-NBA ballot. Snub of the year. I don't know if that's something you want to win, but let's raise a.
Well, what would a snub? What would a snub of the year trophy look like? What would it be? What is? What do you? What's a? What, what in, illustrates a snub?
It's tough. That's a good question. You got to give it to somebody else. Like if you were winning snub of the year, I would present it to Tass to hand to
you.
Oh,
damn! Yeah.
Good one.
Congratulations, Skeets.
I kind of think of a nose turned up, like a face.
Oh, okay.
Looking up,
I
think
snubbing my nose. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's mine.
That's good. Yeah. So my buddy Grish nose.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can see it from a mile
it's
away.
It's an apparent nose.
It could be up in the rafters in an arena, and if you're on the podcast, you could see it up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool that DeMar DeRozan's back, baby.
DeRozan is we had a lot of debate about guard, forward, second, third team. Does he somehow not make it? And in the end, Trey, he's there on the second team as a forward above, like you said, LeBron, which is maybe shocking to some out there.
Yeah, that was definitely a surprise to me that he made it ahead of LeBron. I thought LeBron would just get the one of the best players in the league sort of nomination over DeRozan, but we also, I remember saying back when we were doing our all-NBA teams, DeRozan was a guard, but your team will look a lot better if you have him as a forward because there are more deserving guards than there are deserving forwards.
That's right.
So it's smart to put him at forward here.
Well done. Mm-hmm. Well done. All right, let's hear from everybody in the stream team, everybody watching, listening later. You can tweet at us at NoDunksInc or jump in the comments. Thoughts on the all-NBA teams, biggest snubs. Are you upset that Embiid is not on the first team? All this good stuff that everybody gets all worked up about. Yeah.
Just to add in a name to the people that are listening later on the podcast.
Yes.
The follow-up family, the follow-through crew, and now the pod mob.
Pod mob, okay.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Anyway, it's going to
throw pod squad.
Pod squad, okay. We got four options.
Write it down. Okay, let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals. Pivotal game 5 tonight. Though Zach Lowe wrote today, I saw... Quote, this topsy-turvy, injury-riddled series between the Celtics and Heat has been so strange that the magnitude of tonight's Game 5 in Miami almost sneaks up on you.
Totally.
100% agree with Zach. He also went on to say, it almost feels as if this real series hasn't started. And yet one team tonight will give itself two chances to win one game to advance to the NBA Finals.
Uh-huh.
Again, 100% co-sign on what Zach Lowe is writing there on ESPN. It sounds like you guys agree too, nodding away. But here we are. It is pivotal.
Is it? That's the thing, though. By definition, it is a pivotal game.
It has to be.
2-2, game 5. But I'm with Zach. It doesn't feel pivotal.
It doesn't feel like it, yes.
Because it feels like tip-off. It feels like we're like, ooh, let's see this brand new series. Because that's what it has been every single game, pretty much.
Well, what are you watching for, Tass?
I think the players will feel like it's pivotal.
Yeah.
They're going to be on the floor. Trey mentioned that after game 3, we should expect a game 4 where there's going to be, it's going to be hard to count how many bodies are going to be on the floor. Didn't happen. The Heat weren't ready. But I think tonight there'll be bods on the floor like there were in Game 3. Teams really, really scrapping. The Heat didn't have that intensity in Game 4. It'll happen in Game 5. They'll both be ready. Obviously, the big questions are the injuries on both sides. Jeez. I got to believe Jimmy is going to lead a fairly healthy Heat team out there. I think he will be ready. If he was that injured, I don't think he would have played in Game 4, and especially considering that they were up 2-1 in the series going into that one. So I got to believe Jimmy's going to have a big game, and Tyler Herro says he's going to play. So I think they've got most of their firepower ready to go for this game.
What about the Celtics with Marcus Smart and the Time Lord? I feel like everybody on this going into this game feels like questionable.
Yeah.
It's like wait and see as they warm up and get ready and how they're feeling and stuff.
I know we're going to have Bam and Al Horford out there.
Yeah.
That's like locking that in. Everything else, we shall see exactly who's out there. But yeah, we got to see the Bam domination mindset again. The Celtics got away with playing Peyton Pritchard quite a few minutes in Game 4.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good, but also Bam needs to make the Celtics pay for playing Pritchard on him. There were too many times when Bam would be rolling to get the ball, they would have Pritchard, and they do a quick switch. They do a quick scram switch, if you will. Subscribe to No Dunks, or subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/NoDunks. You can learn all about it there. But basically, Bam needs to dominate. Bam needs to get to the rim. Bam needs to not be scared if Al Horford's guarding him and Robert Williams happens to be there. You got to go through and try and draw some fouls. That's the other thing. Jimmy Butler, hopefully he's healthy enough to be getting in the rim and controlling the pace of things, because too many floaters, I think, in Game 4 for the Heat, which is another huge chunk of the reason they didn't take any sort of free throws. So the Heat just have to be a little bit more intense and a little bit more determined to be getting the ball to the rim rather than to 8 to 10 feet.
Something to watch for in this game is Celtics turnovers, because that's been a story here in this series. The Heat just can't score all that well in a half-court setting. I mean, the Celtics defense is elite. The Heat can struggle at times there. So how do they score otherwise? Well, they get some transition points, and they have won when they force turnovers to ignite that transition game. Boston has 39 turnovers in Miami's 2 wins, and they only have 18 turnovers in Boston's 2 victories. So taking care of the ball, obviously that starts with Tatum and Brown, because that's who's going to have the ball the most. And we saw the pressure that the Heat put on them at times, but they were just sloppy with it. Bad passes, poor dribbling. So watch that, because Miami needs all those sort of like free points, I call them, you know, the transition points that they can get to get the lead. Hopefully we just get a close game here, though, because you know, every game this series has been, at some point there's just a massive run, be it in the first quarter or in the third quarter, whenever, and it's like a 25 point lead. And at times you know, the Celtics did come back in that one and made it a little interesting, but usually it's sort of over after that.
Yeah, can't wait to see what Heat we get right out the gate, because they could turn over the Celtics a lot, especially if Marcus Smart's not out there. I know it's really important that Tatum and Brown are on the floor and taking care of the ball, but I'm a little worried for the Celtics, because you got a good Derek White game in Game 4. If Marcus Smart isn't there, I just don't know if you get good back-to-back Derek White games.
He's inconsistent at times.
Yeah, so...
But you'll know right away, so that's the one good thing.
Yeah, he had a solid game, and everyone was solid around him. Marcus Smart is really important to me in this one. I don't want to put it on a guy playing or not, but yeah, that's important, I think. Can't wait. Can't wait.
So you were questioning whether or not this 2-2 Game 5 is pivotal. So I guess you think, even if you lose tonight, you could still win this series. Is that fair to say?
This one, it feels like, true. I guess if you're the Heat, it's more of a must win. I think this is a must win for the Heat, though maybe not pivotal, because you don't want to be down 3-2 going back to Beantown. But it also feels like the Heat could win in Boston very easily by 30 points or by 1 point. Who knows? So it feels like this series is just getting started. I think part of that is that the lineups have been different for every single game.
Yeah.
So you don't really know how to, like, brainstorm adjustments that a coach can make, because you don't even know what personnel is going to be there. So just a very disjointed series. Hopefully we get at least a little bit of a close one. Like, I was so happy last night when it was like a 10-point game at halftime. I was like, oh, yes, yes. It did end up getting to blowout status, of course, but second half, that's fine. That's fine.
You just want it at least for the first 24
Stay
minutes.
Stay interesting.
Somewhat interesting.
For 30 minutes, at least into the third quarter.
Yeah, and it's different when it's a 25-point blowout at half and then it gets to 8, yes, like this series has.
What are you going to do tonight with Survivor finale on? That's like 3 hours of television and a basketball
game.
Is
it a penultimate?
No, this is the finale is tonight.
We
Tass.
Watched the penultimate last week.
You sure
week.
Did, Tass.
That didn't feel like the penultimate.
No, it's like this series.
Exactly. That wasn't the pivotal penultimate.
Yeah, no, tonight, Survivor finale. You got 3 hours. 3 hours when you include the, they do the reunion there, right on the island, on location.
I love that.
You got a plan tonight, TK. Heading in. What are you
thinking
doing?
It through. So we'll be going to reunion. It seems like around 10 o'clock, probably.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit after, but yeah.
Yeah. So I'll probably dip out after they announce the winner.
Okay.
I'm gonna watch. I mean, Survivor finale. Gotta watch it live.
Yeah.
I'll have the Beantown boys on this here laptop.
Okay.
And then as soon as Jeff reads that Lindsay has won Survivor, I'll switch it.
Oh wow! He's calling it.
That's not going to happen until halfway through the reunion, though. That's what happened last time. Yeah, it was deep into that
reunion.
It
was deep. It was deep.
So you're talking 10:30?
Probably 10:20. Okay. But still.
10:20, the pizza party starts.
That's right.
Oh, I cannot wait to see Jonathan crushing Za tonight. Oh, I'm ordering a pizza now that you mentioned that.
Oh, I crushed a Za last night. I should have saved it for tonight. I'm an idiot.
The guy who hurt his shoulder. What's his
Daniel.
Name? He's going to be eating pizza, too. I'm going to be drinking.
He's not going to be there.
No, they're bringing it back.
He's
loves it.
He's long gone, man. Yeah
right. I'm definitely going to be drinking champagne along with
Oh,
them.
Nice.
Remember when they drink champagne they yell at the crew, fill this up! Fill it up!
Probes, anybody need champagne? Anybody need more pizza? Anybody need
this?
Okay, yeah. Decisions to be made tonight, how you're going to tackle this. I think... I like what you're saying. You know, you just save the reunion part till much later.
Sure.
Like either in the morning or something like that. But, you know, it depends how close this game is here, too. The way these have been going, you might be like, oh, it's over at the half. They're up 35. Great. Let's watch Survivor. We'll find out. Okay. Let's take our final break, though. When we come back, JD has got Tweet of the Night. So don't go anywhere.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, back here with the boys. Someone in the stream team, Justin, said, the only ball podcast that discusses strategies to not having to watch the game. LOL. No, that's not it, Justin. We're just Survivor sickos. We have to watch the finale. Otherwise, you're going to get it spoiled.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it'd just be a matter of time, and I don't want that to happen. So it's just figuring out the balance.
I think it's more like we're figuring out how we are going to watch basketball.
Exactly.
Nice
Justin.
Spin.
Come on, Justin.
You should be on Survivor. That was a nice spin. Right?
Good. All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
JD, Tweet of the Night.
Yeah. You know, I hate being on Twitter on the best of times, and yesterday was a terrible time to be on Twitter for obvious reasons, but there was one little nugget about enough news about a franchise that we are very invested in here in the No Dunks Classic Factory. That, of course, is Fast and Furious. We have a limited series that's on hold at the moment because we're waiting anxiously for Fast X to come out. Doesn't come out till May 17th, May 19th, May of next year. So literally a year minus a week we're waiting for this movie. But we had some news. And we were talking about Dom's mother, who we assume is dead, right?
Well,
we don't know what's canon or what's not canon.
I don't know anymore.
And where there was actually, we think that there are maybe several mothers, like one for John Cena and what was his sister's name again? Maya? No.
Mia.
That's it. Anyways, his grandmother got cast yesterday.
Oh, okay. His grandma's
Rita
alive.
Moreno.
Oh, nice.
EGOT winner. He's joining the Fast and Furious franchise as Vin Diesel's grandmother. And I just love the quote in the article that came right out of the press release. Rita Moreno is ready to get Fast and Furious.
All right. That's just the right spirit for these.
I'm actually excited for this.
Okay.
I think she's going to be great. You know, she's awesome. And I was going to hit you with some really, really obscure trivia.
Okay.
Go nuts.
Sabrina you want it? Trivia?
Yeah.
I got a couple here. Okay, so EGOTs. Oh, she won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. Can you tell me
come on.
What she won for each?
No.
Nope.
Nothing?
I'm going to offer one guess here. Yeah. I looked at her Wikipedia page. And one of the first things mentioned in the first paragraph is West Side Story.
Yeah.
I'm guessing multiple wins for West Side Story.
Well, she won a Best Supporting Actress.
Okay.
For
nice.
For an Oscar. That's where her Oscar.
That's her Oscar.
Congratulations.
So what year?
That would have been 60.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's a long, long time. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you'll never get the rest of it. So let's just end it there.
Nice.
Okay. Here's some trivia. A different trivia. Okay. I'll tell you anyways. She won a Tony for The Ritz.
Okay.
Best featured actress in a play. She won her Grammy for the children's show, The Electric Company. Remember that? Back in the 70s, came on right after Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar.
Definitely sounds familiar.
Yeah.
She won for Best Recording for Children. That's her Grammy.
Okay.
What am I missing? The Emmy.
Yeah. Mm.
This is interesting because I remember this episode. Outstanding.
She was on Dude Perfect's premiere.
Yeah, right.
She took down Luke Bryant in a game of Mario Kart, real life Mario Kart. Okay, sorry.
She won for Outstanding Continuing or Single Performance by a Supporting Actress in a Variety or Musical for The Muppet Show. One guest performance appearance on the Muppet Show. Okay.
Second. I started rewatching The Muppet Show.
Why?
I don't know. I think it went on one of the streaming services, and I was like, I love that show.
I love it, too. Yeah, I loved it.
I stopped after a couple.
This was in prime time, that show. It's kind of racy, too. Like, it's a lot of innuendo in that show. 70s are great, guys. all right, here's another trivia question for you. There are 16 other EGOT winners. Can you name three?
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Just three.
EGOT winners?
Did John Legend get there or no? He's not there yet.
John Legend is one.
Hey! Yes.
Nice one.
Way to go.
Hercules. Jimmy Fox is not yet, I don't think.
No.
Okay.
Tracy Jordan.
No.
Okay.
Two more. Come on. You can do it.
Yeah, we can do this. We can do this.
EGOT.
This is
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No.
No way.
Not Hugh Jackman.
Lin's a good one.
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
No, nope, not Lin-Manuel.
Is there a current artist?
Gotta sing.
Like a female artist?
A female artist? No.
Oh, I thought Lee's...
So there's male artists.
What's her name? I
can't... John Legend is like the most current contemporary.
Lady Gaga. I couldn't think of her damn name.
Lady Gaga. That's a good guess, but no.
Oh.
This person is still working today. She's on daytime television.
Okay.
Ellen?
Barbara Walters did it.
Ellen.
She...
Is she working?
She won Best Supporting Actress.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Nice. Yeah! That's two.
Come on.
All right. One more. You can do this. One is a... comedy legend, still alive, extremely old, older than dirt.
Wow.
George Carlin.
No, he's
George Carlin is dead, but this man is still alive.
Still alive.
comedy legend, silly, slapsticky type comedy.
Charlie, no, that's way too.
Gallagher.
His Tony comes from a movie that was made in the 60s and was remade relatively recently for Broadway.
Oh, interesting.
Starring, I believe, Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane.
Oh,
Birdhouse.
Nope. you guys are bad at this.
This we're bad.
Yeah.
Not up to date on
I think you're going to say this name and I'm going to be upset. Go ahead.
Yeah, you are going to be upset. Yeah. It's Mel Brooks.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not upset.
You should have. No, well, you should have.
I would have never guessed he had a Grammy.
Yeah, just a comedy. Comedy. Album, probably, yeah.
Yeah, he's like. Well, who was his partner? The Thousand-Year-Old Man. Remember that bit? No?
No.
Okay. Anyways.
All right.
EGOT! There's a bunch more, but
we
struggled with three,
ones,
so
yeah.
I was like, these guys might be able to get five. Robert Lopez? Anyone? Anyone? He wrote Frozen, Book of Mormon.
Did he?
Wow.
Like the music. Co-wrote the music for
okay.
it. Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, that
Tim
one
Rice.
Okay.
That his Emmy was the same as John Legend, Jesus Christ Superstar. It was great. That was really good. Mike Nichols? Anyone?
Yeah.
Mike yeah.
Nichols.
Alan Menken, composer, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin.
I mean, how are we going to get that?
I don't know.
Performers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You think Rita Moreno's going to sing in Fast 10?
God,
10?
I hope so. But no. I mean,
why not?
Because
that can be doing karaoke at a bar. She's got the pipes for it.
You know what? I mean, Vin Diesel, I feel like he won't allow it because he will not be upstaged.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we've heard Vin sing. He's released a single as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
It's too late for Vin. She's upstaging him.
She
will.
I mean, I think you're right. I hope you're right.
She's ridiculously charismatic, right? She's also a voiceover artist, right?
She's been working for... I don't think she's ever stopped working looking at her IMDb. But
all right. Fast 10.
She's going to bring in the kids. She's good with the kids. The kids will be watching Fast and the Furious because of Rita Moreno.
You're right. Tess, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong.
You shared this tweet on Slack this morning,
yeah.
JD. My 2-year-old saw it, and she said, she saw Rita Moreno. She said, whoa, Tata. That's what she calls her grandma. She thought that was her grandma.
Oh, yeah.
So she's very lovable.
Sure.
Very lovable. She said, oh, Tata got a haircut. And I said, well, kind of.
Yeah. So looking forward to that a year from now. By the way, this Mission Impossible, I thought it was coming out this July. It's next July. It's over a year from now. What is going on here?
You can't drop these 13 months in advance or 14 months in advance. This is too soon.
Yeah. I agree. 6 months is too soon.
I did like your idea, though. I heard you guys say it on No Breaks. Should we do a Mission Impossible rewatch podcast series?
They're good.
Oh, the whole.
They're pretty solid.
They get better and better. Like, you
are they too good,
out?
Though? Like, there's
they
not
might
a
be
lot
too
to
good. Yeah,
about.
We're just going to be like, wow, what a great movie.
Yeah. I didn't like 2, actually.
Okay.
But
yeah, I think 2 is the
it's
worst
the weakest
one, as well.
One for sure.
Wow. I thought it was coming out this summer.
Yeah. I was like, pumped.
2? No, it's already out.
No. Whatever. What number are we at in Mission Impossible?
They've done 6. This will be number 7.
That's
and it's
that's
a part
it.
1.
Oh,
that's
nice.
What they do now.
It's a real right. Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly.
At least the next one comes out the following year. So that's something.
Okay. Anyway. Well, let's wrap up this show. We've got a fun few tangents on this one, haven't we? Send in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter and on the Instagram. And on the Facebook and on the TikTok at No Dunks Inc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Told you a couple times on today's show to go get one of those so you can read some of these articles that we are addressing. Go to nodunks.com. We think there are a few jerseys still left. So go to nodunks.com for any and all of your No Dunks merch, including these jerseys that we dropped today from our friends at Breaking Tea. Trey's got the beautiful Nuggets. So, hey, attention to detail on this jersey. You notice that those buildings there in front of the mountains, those are factories. That's a classic factory or two there on Trey's
right
chest.
There.
That's amazing. That's just nice attention to detail. And then, we got the Grizzlies one as well. I know you guys have been purchasing these throughout the show. We really, really thank you. But there are a few left if you haven't got one already. That's it for us. We will be back here tomorrow. Hopefully we get a great pivotal game 5 tonight to talk about on tomorrow's show. 10 a.m. Eastern live. We got Survivor on tonight.
Damn. Factory
you
smoky.
Lied to me, by the way. You told me weeks ago, I remember on a particular show, this was the last time I'm going to cough. And I think you've coughed every day since.
Me? You think it was me coughing? Interesting you say that. Interesting.
What are you looking for? Your water, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking for my okay. water.
Well, is it me? Is it me that you're suspecting? Well, I've got a cough for sure. I'm coughing.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're okay. That's all.
Yeah. I'm fine. I was just reading about the EGOT acronym.
I just hope it's not the smoke from the factory that is getting in your lungs. Because this is a sustainable factory. It's a totally green factory. Is it?
Who knows? Okay, we will be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
All right, nobody cares, but I'm giving you the results for the poll. The best name for the No Dunks podcast listeners. The Pod Squad leading, Skeets. Way to go.
Nice.
You did it.
That's good.
You know, I know you don't care, but it's your name, so now you care. 46% follow through crew, the Pod Mob, and then the follow up family.
What about the Pod Bod?
Following up in the rear. The what?
The Pod Bod.
Yeah. Good try.
All right. Brainstorming. Brace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.